All right. Welcome to No Better Time. I'm Phil Salter. I'm really, really excited about today's episode. Something that I'm getting increasingly more excited about is the idea of doing these practical episodes about actionable steps someone can take to improve their financial situation and start getting things ready for their future and for their present, and to take control and feel empowered to be in control of their lives, financially speaking. And that this translates into other aspects of your life if it's needed, like getting control of your career, getting control of your free time, doing things that make you feel like you're being productive and you're doing the things that you want to do with your life. Because nothing feels better. Well, a huge rewarding thing in our life is when we do things that we felt like we couldn't do or that we were so overwhelmed by. And for me, one of those things is learning how to invest, learning how to build wealth, believing I can, and seeing that it's actually starting to happen in these certain ways. So this episode is an episode about budgeting. And I speak with my mentor and great friend, Eric Donahue, about budgeting, kind of getting past that part in your life where you're living paycheck to paycheck. I found that you can find that no matter how much money you make, you could always have no money and always be scrambling, always be living paycheck to paycheck if you don't gain the skill of budgeting. It's such a vital part. It's like possibly the first step in anyone's path to building wealth is being able to budget and stick to a budget, because you can come up with all kinds of plans and have all kinds of things on paper that work perfectly. But if you can't stay in a budget, you're not going to be able to have that money you need to actually execute those financial plans. And so budgeting is huge. We talk a lot about a specific budgeting tool called You Need a Budget. It's an app. We call it YNAB for short. That's YNAB. It's a desktop and mobile app, excuse me, that's used for budgeting your money. But here's the thing, you don't need to use this app. It's just an example that we both use that we really love that we recommend. I'm not sponsored by them by any means, and I'm not a financial advisor, but this is the principles we talk about with this app are important enough that can be used with other apps or any other ways to budget. The point is giving your money a name and a place and a job, using it for that thing, and being prepared for the future with upcoming expenses, because certain expenses don't happen every month, like buying clothes. And maybe you don't do that every month, but you know you might be able to determine if you have enough handle on your spending, which might come with time as you start to budget. You may not know right now how much you spend on clothing every year, but if you start using an app like You Need a Budget or Mint, which is another budgeting app that you might be able to use to look back and see what have I spent my money on in the past. You can start to say, hey, I spend, let's say, $100 a year on clothes. Probably a lot more, I would guess, but let's say it's $100 for simplicity. You can say, okay, $100 every 12 months on clothes on average. Let's say $120. This is even easier. What's 120 divided by 12? As in, how much do I spend every month? Oh, that's $12 a month I need to put aside towards clothes, so that when the time comes, I have money to spend on clothes. Things like this. I hope this makes sense. These are really important principles that have really been a huge game changer for me with my finances and with budgeting. And I'm not perfect at it. I'm getting better all the time. My wife and I have these meetings where we talk about how we've done and what we need to do. And that's been really important for us personally, to get better at our budget and seeing where we're needing help and seeing where we're strong. Anyways, I'm really excited about this. It's just a good episode. I hope you enjoy it. I hope it definitely helps you get encouraged and know that it's okay to make mistakes with budgeting, as long as we're always looking for ways to improve. That's what matters. I would love to hear from you if you have any feedback on this or additional suggestions or things that you've done, tools you've used or tactics you've used that have worked for budgeting. You can email me at nobettertime.podcast@gmail.com, or you can even go to anchor.fm/nobettertime and leave a voice message. And I'd love to put that on my next upcoming episode. Anyways, hope you enjoy my interview and discussion with Eric Donahue on budgeting.
Thank you. Welcome to No Better Time, a financial journey with me, Phil Salter, as I learn about finances and investing. Join me and we can grow together towards a bright financial future, because there's no better time than the present to get moving on your financial goals. Welcome to No Better Time. I'm Phil Salter, and I'm here today with Eric Donahue, who is someone I've known for several years. Hello, Eric. Thanks for joining me.
Hello.
And you're someone that I've mentioned in previous episodes. I haven't gotten a lot into budgeting specifically. I've kind of glanced over it, but I mentioned how I use an app called You Need a Budget or YNAB. I don't know if that's really what they call it, but that's what we call it. And how there was a period of time, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, that you had brought it up to me, and also my brother had brought it up to me around the same time. And you're two people that I have a lot of respect for in your opinions. And I was like, maybe I should look into this thing. So that's kind of one of the things I want to talk with you about today. But even before that, I'm kind of curious. Something I've always want to ask people, but I don't always remember to, is to ask kind of what would you say your relationship was to money as a child growing up? Did you make money? Did you have an allowance? Did you save money?
I honestly don't remember if I ever had an allowance or not. I don't remember having an allowance, but I started working by the time I was probably 11. I had a paper route, and we would drive our four-wheeler at 6 a.m. around the neighborhood, because we did the neighborhood that we lived in, basically. And we would fold them all up in the morning, throw them in like a big storage plastic bin that was bungee corded to the back of the four-wheeler, and me and my brother would go around throwing them out. But after a year or so, some neighbor was complaining about the sound of our four-wheeler every morning. And so
early in the morning, yeah.
The paper route came to an end. My parents weren't willing to get up and drive us around, so that was the only way they were willing to let us have a paper route.
Because you have all brothers. You have like four brothers?
Four younger brothers, yeah.
Four younger brothers. You're the oldest. Who instigated doing the paper route? Was it you? Did your parents say, hey, this would be a good thing? Or do you remember that?
I don't remember. If I asked my mom, she'd probably know. It was probably them.
The only so paper routes, I remember my family having a paper route at one point, and we'd take turns going with my dad really early in the morning. And I remember specifically going on the paper route when my dad told me how babies were made. So I have this memory of like paper routes and being like, you're joking, right? And like, but he wouldn't joke about this. So but that's great. So did you—
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, thanks. Having a paper as the first time you remember making money, do you remember kind of what you did with that money? Did you say, hey, I gotta go spend this money? Did it, you know, like,
man, I don't know what I did. I have no idea. I probably bought Pokemon cards.
Yeah, but so when you could say, like, maybe that's the earliest you remember, but kind of let's say fast forward, did you have a job while you were in high school? Were you just a
student? I mean, since that paper route, I've always had a job. So did the paper route, and then when I was 14, I think, I became a part or substitute cleaner at the elementary school that I went to as a younger kid. So I was vacuuming and cleaning a school after school. They had kids do that job.
Like they pay you?
Yeah, it was a paid job. So I was paid. I wasn't a full-time one, so I wasn't doing it every day, but I was there probably once a week or so just filling in. And then after that, I got a job as a part-time Salt Lake County Library System shelver.
Okay.
And so I would just
bringing books back to the where they.
I would literally just take books that were returned, sort them on a cart, and roll them around and put them back on the shelves. And I would do that for 4 hours at a time at random libraries all throughout Salt Lake County, because the Salt Lake County Library System is kind of all connected. And I would just fill in at libraries where somebody had time off or was sick or something.
What was the age?
That was, I think, starting at like, that might have been 16, because I'm pretty sure I was driving myself to those.
Okay, so that was more of like, more traditional, like working age at that point. But
yeah,
you have a history. Like you said, you've always had a job. You're someone with a really high work ethic. yeah, you work really hard, but you work really smart, and you're about not just wasting time, right? So I'm sure even when you did that at the library, even back then where you're like, hey, how can I be most efficient with this?
I just remember being disturbed with the graphicness of the erotic female novels and the covers
they had to put away
that women would read. I just couldn't believe that. I just felt bad for people that were getting their kicks off of that stuff.
Maybe you feel good for them, man. They found their passion. We all want to find our passion, right?
They found their vicarious passion. That they would live through the generic, tall, long-haired, muscular man and frail, thin, you know, take me daddy woman in every book.
The Fabio types, right? And
yeah. Covers. Like some of them literally were Fabio drawn on the cover.
Right? I think he really was a bottle for those. Yep. So then were you much of a saver? I'm wondering. Cause I just think, cause for me, like I never was a saver growing up. I always spent money as I got it.
I was kind of like with my group of friends, I was the chauffeur. So I'd do most of the driving and I'd pay for most of the gas. And my parents didn't pay for any of my stuff. I think they did pay for my car insurance, but like I had to pay for everything else that I did. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have a big chunk of savings by the time I was done with high school. Like I should have, I should have, but I always found things to spend my money on. I like to, you know, use it instead of lose it.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I wasn't really budget minded or thinking about any of that at that age.
Yeah. So then what happened? Cause like I would call you a fairly quite successful person. You know, it's all relative, but you're definitely someone who's done well and has worked hard and gained skills. And over the years, you've found yourself making more and more money. I'm sure like a lot of us do as time passes. At what point did you start to realize, I need to start budgeting? Or did, you know, when did that kind of start coming into play?
I mean, when I got sick of living paycheck to paycheck.
Did you find that, I'm making more money, I'm not poor, but I'm still kind of living paycheck to paycheck? Did that?
Well, it got harder when we had our first baby, Charlie, and I had to get a full-time job with benefits to help pay for babies. And so we did that. And then shortly thereafter, we bought our first house that I'm in right now. We had a condo before that we owned, but when we tried to keep that and then rent this out or rent the condo out while staying here. And that just made finances really tight because that was back in, we bought it in 2000. It was 2014 when we started to rent that. And the amount of money I was getting out of rent was basically just barely enough to cover the mortgage. And so I was always feeling like I had to, you know, save some of my own money to put aside for the things that would inevitably happen in the condo. Hmm. Plus the MTC didn't really pay that great. And when you add that up to all the new bills for a new baby and then taking care of the condo and then a new mortgage on a house.
So it's feeling more like a liability to you than an asset, right?
Yeah. And it was just tight. My money was tight. We, you know, I'm sure we had a credit card balance at that point and we were making minimum payments on it. Mm-hmm. At one point we had our credit cards completely paid off, and then somewhere between getting them paid off when we first got married and getting into this house and having a baby, we built up some balance again. So it was time to do something about it. And it was ultimately Aaron Gibson, who told me about YNAB working at GoReact. And, I don't know, it just resonated with me and made sense. And the rest is history, as they say.
Well, I want more of the history lesson, right? Like I want to, cause you kind of heard about this app, and what is it you feel like really helped you? And obviously I wish I was sponsored by YNAB, but it's just something.
I've applied there twice.
Oh, have you? Good for you.
Yeah. They're a fully remote company, but they are based in Utah.
And there's other people I know that are all about it. Like Jonathan, who we work with, who's actually also been on the podcast, is really geeks out over it and how to really.
Yeah. I think he heard about it from me and Aaron as well.
Yeah. But like, what is it that you found? And like, maybe not specifically to say, hey, this is the app, but like, what about this app that helped made it so that budgeting became more successful for you?
I think it was It's the four rules that YNAB, their philosophy and their four rules that kind of resonated with me. You know, the concept of giving every dollar a job and you know, before this, probably like most people, I was using, is it Mint?
Yes.
I can't remember what they were called. But Mint isn't so much a budget as it is a, here's where you spent your money. You know, you can connect your credit cards and it'll show you everything and it'll show you categories. And you can set up like little budget categories saying, I want to spend this much here and this much here. But you're not budgeting your own money. You're just basically saying, I'm guessing that I want to spend this much, which is not budgeting. I read an article about YNAB once. At one point, they said Mint is like a crime scene investigator, whereas YNAB is more like Minority Report and working with the precogs. Because Mint was just, you know, your budget is a dead body and you're looking at what happened to your money and trying to figure out where it went and what you did with it. Whereas YNAB, you're planning in a, you're thinking into the future and trying to prevent a dead budget body from occurring by knowing these are the expenses I'm going to have and planning for them and preparing for them.
We'll be right back. And now back to the show. Yeah, it's more proactive, right? And not that there's not value in looking back, which you can do obviously with YNAB as well, say, what did I spend my money on and where did it really go? But like, yeah, right, you get your money, you get your paycheck, and then you start to have this available money to then start putting in categories, which I kind of think of as like individual little accounts, you know? There was a time when I used to have multiple accounts at different banks, and I was like, I want to take this money, put it over here that I'll use only for gas, and if I hopefully I don't, you know, use it all up every month. And then I realized I don't need all these accounts. In fact, I got sick of always looking at my account to see, can I buy groceries this week, you know, how much is left in there. Instead, using YNAB, you just see how much is left in that grocery category. And as you start to fill in these other categories, and I want you to maybe dive into like, okay, all my category, I got paid, everything's been funded for this month. Like, and you can put goals in there, for instance, say, hey, I want to put $100 a week towards groceries, for instance. So then once that's in there, you know, you have enough. What's the next step once you say, hey, I've covered my expenses for this month and there's still money to be budgeted?
Well, that's where the power of a budget really comes in. And a lot of people think about budgeting as being restrictive. It's they don't want a budget. They don't want to know what the balance of their checking account is because they don't want to have to not do the things they want to do. But that's the exact opposite thing that a real budget really does. A real budget helps you to do the things that you want to do because you get real about what expenses and bills that you have, and you decide what are the things you really care about and put the money there. And you're forced to have to compromise in areas that, well, if I really care about this, then I can't also care about that. Like if I really want to have, you know, $100 a month to play golf, then I can't go eat out and spend $250 a month on eating out. I just can't do that anymore. So I have to be more disciplined with eating out. You have to choose what is the, based on the, I mean, everybody's got a certain amount of money that they have available to them. But regardless of how much money you have, you can live within your means. And as you get more money, hopefully you don't change your lifestyle too much and you can just start building up actual wealth.
Yeah.
And yeah. For me, I try to get a few months of all my expenses budgeted out in advance. So when I finish a month, I start moving forward to the next month and then the next month in YNAB until I've got, you know, I want to always have at least 4 months of everything budgeted out in YNAB. And then after that, you know, any extra money you have, I don't feel like I need to go any farther in the future. So I'll start pie in the sky. Like, well, what do I want to do with this extra money? Do I put more towards retirement? Do we increase our vacation budget? What do we do? So you work it out as a family of what do we really want to do? What do we care about? Do we want to do some house upgrades? You know, and you start having extra money to put towards those things.
Yeah. And I think it's one thing that's really important when it comes to budgeting is realizing that everyone has to make choices and has to have priorities. And there's people no matter how much money you make, you can always just end up spending it all if you don't have a plan and if you don't have priorities. I'm reading the book right now called like The Simple Path to Wealth or something. And there was an example of a guy who just got his $800,000 bonus check for the year. That's just his bonus check. And he was complaining to this person, this author, about how it's just not enough because he's all these expenses. It's like, okay, that's a certain kind of lifestyle he's established that requires a lot of capital to maintain.
He's got a lot of debt payments
a lot of debt. And yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? But it's just a certain lifestyle. So I used to think like we and my wife would have conversations like, oh, we've we're making more money than we used to, but then we're still like having to make these choices. And that's not a failure. It's like, no, that's just part of life. And
you're always gonna have to do that.
You can't say yes to everything all the time. Like, who has that, like, an unlimited amount of money? Very few people. You know what I mean? And the people who have a lot of money that truly are wealthy, it's because they've remained disciplined 9 times out of 10, if not more. You know what I mean?
Or they're a trust fund kid.
Yeah, exactly. If you haven't just had money land on your lap, like, it's because of discipline. Because you can, like I said, the more money you make, the more you can find a way to spend. So
the true key is to be happy with what you have and not always be wanting more. Like,
yes.
Have a lifestyle that you're satisfied with. And as you make more money, actually build wealth so that you can stop worrying about making money and stop worrying about having to provide, and like literally just spend your time doing what it is that you want to do because you've already resolved the money situation.
Yeah. And it's funny how sometimes we sacrifice the things that we really want for like the things that we kind of want right now. You know what I mean?
Like, the cheeseburger looks so good.
Yeah. And so it's really amazing though. Like once you start to like take control and make choices and plan, like you can do so much more. Like all of a sudden I feel like, oh, we can actually go on vacations when before I feel like I could never find a way to afford it. You know what I mean? Like you can really do more
and pay with it all in cash, and you don't feel any guilt spending it.
Mm-hmm. It makes a huge difference. And I mean, honestly, I'm still working on it. Like we're not perfect. And that's the great thing about this is no one's perfect. You're going to overspend on certain budget items, you know.
Well, that's one of the philosophies of YNAB is rolling with the punches. You know, you go over in groceries, all it means is you have to pull money out of some other category and balance things out. So, you know, something happens, some things come up, life happens. You don't have to beat yourself up over it. You just roll with the punch, move some money, and you move on.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If you get too obsessed with like not like being perfect, when you do mess up, it's a lot easier to just say forget it and just like, then it just becomes worse, you know, then you're just like,
as long as your mess up isn't like, oh, I bought a $1,500 TV I didn't need.
Oops. You know,
like, then you might have to like address your spending addiction and like, you know, just wanting to have things problem. Like I feel bad for people whose happiness is based on things.
Yeah.
And that's a never ending, just you get it. And then the novelty wears off. And then 2 days later you have buyer's remorse.
It's true. And I've had that feeling myself, and it's something that you start to realize the more you have wins financially, like, oh, this feels way better than that immediate rush of buying that thing that I really knew I shouldn't have, you know? So yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, there's some things that, you know, you can justify, like how often do you use it? How, like, that's the thing is like, is it actually going to improve the quality of my life? Like, is there really a difference between my evening enjoyment when I look at a $500 TV versus a $1,500 TV? Like, is there really going to be a difference there?
Yeah.
I would spend good money on your bed. You spend a third of your life in your bed. Buy a quality bed. It's worth the $2,000 if you're going to be in it 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
Have a reliable vehicle. Get it paid off as quick as you can, and then just ride it till it's dead.
Yeah. And I think that that's the thing. I always thought it was about like being super disciplined and like super minimal and scrounging all the time and like eating really simple food all and not eating, you know what I mean? It's like, no, it's about like just having a plan and sticking to it. You know, if you say, hey, for me, I want this much money for groceries, and that's a high priority for me because I want to eat like fresh vegetables and fruit every day, and I want to have really awesome things, do it, but just know what that budget is for that and stick to
it. Well, you just have to know what it means for the other things in your life.
Yeah, and wow, that means, well, I guess that means like I can't do these other things, and that's fine, you know? So,
yeah.
And that's, I think we get it, but I just think that it's so important to not have a minimalist or a scarcity mindset, I mean, around this, because it's easy to think that's what it is, but really this is about creating abundance, man. It really does. We were talking the other day about how, wow, in my account, my bank account, because money just kind of starts to, because it's cool, because with YNAB in particular, money kind of rolls over in the categories. You know, it's really nice. It like helps you see like, oh, I budgeted, let's say $500 for groceries. I spend $400. I wish that was the case. But like $100 rolls over.
I wish I only spent $500 on groceries.
Yeah. And that I ever went $100 under budget for groceries. But you know what I'm saying? But then like you could say, hey, let's say like there's a particular category that keeps like, oh, I don't always spend it all. You know, then you can readjust, say, oh, maybe I don't need to put as much and blah, blah, blah. But it's really great. But like, I've never had so much money just sitting in my bank account over time. Mm-hmm. It just continues to grow because more money kind of gets building up in these different categories, and that's something
that's how it was for me too.
Yeah, so something
certainly making more money helps, but like if you don't already have a good habits with how to handle money, then you can make a lot more money, and then you can be like the guy that gets an $800,000 bonus and still feel stressed out about it.
Yeah. And if someone's listening to this and like you could either be the person that doesn't make that much money and is trying to make more money, learn these skills now because it's just going to benefit you. If you're someone who makes $200,000 a year and you feel like you're living paycheck to paycheck, you're not alone. Like this happens to like a lot of people, and you can get out of that cycle, and you can, and it's all about budgeting.
Yeah.
And it's
about I was in that cycle. I know how it is.
I appreciate you taking the time to talk about this. I know it's something, it's made a huge benefit in my life to focus on budgeting more. And one thing that me and my wife do, and I don't know if you guys do this, but, and we've gotten kind of bad at it lately, we're trying to get back on the wagon, is having like meetings every week where we talk about the budget and our plans. And we've had so much success in the past where we'd say, this is the week. What did we do well this last week? Where did we kind of fail? Oh, we overspent here. What do we need to have money for in this coming week or month? You know, so it's like, oh, actually we have this extra thing we don't normally have. We have to get putting money aside for that. When we've done that, it's made the biggest difference. It's very similar to like when you're on a software development team and you have a planning meeting, right? And you decide what you're going to do that week. Have you ever done something like that?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. It is powerful. It's hard to always do. You kind of get in a rhythm and you learn what your priorities are and what your habits are. And you just kind of get a discipline of like, well, there's this much in the budget and I know I can spend that much. And if it's gone, it's gone. And you wait till next month.
I think that's the place to start for maybe anyone who doesn't budget, is if you have a significant other, to have candid conversations about what your goals are and what you're doing and where your money's going. And that's really hard and scary. And depending on who's the person who maybe is more apt to spend, that could be difficult.
But yeah, usually one is potentially more interested in the finances and the other one just doesn't want to care about it and wants to just be able to spend money and not worry about it.
But once you both start to see the wins together, that's when it really starts to gel, and that's super vital to be on the same page, because you could be working your butt off, and if the other person is just not staying with the plan, then it's not going to work. But
yep.
Anyways, that's just a little thing. Anyways, if anybody... Yeah. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, I'll just say, like, if you feel like you're in a situation where thinking about your finances stresses you out, then I would recommend giving YNAB a try and stick to it for at least 3 months and watch how you actually have some money in your bank account and you start to get a little breathing room. As long as you are committing to it, I can promise you that you'll start to see a difference and you'll feel like you're in more control of your life and not like you are just at the whim of whatever bill comes up.
Yes. Yes. Be able to go do the things, buy the things you need with confidence, knowing, oh, this is the, I have this money and it was meant for this, and that's okay. That's why I put it there. All right. Thanks, Eric, for joining me. I really appreciate it. If anybody wants to add to the conversation, if you have questions or topics you'd like to be discussed on the podcast, you can email me at nobettertime.podcast@gmail.com. All right. Thanks. Have a great day and start thinking about how you can have a plan with your money and stick to it and just do it better. Always just look to do a little better each month, because we're going to make mistakes. We're going to fall short. But if we just do a little better each month, then that's the winning trajectory. So, all right. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening. You can support the No Better Time podcast by going to anchor.fm/nobettertime and selecting the support button. But the best support you can give is by listening and engaging. I want to hear from you. Send your thoughts, questions, and topic ideas to nobettertime.podcast@gmail.com, or you can leave a voice message by going to anchor.fm/nobettertime and clicking the message button just below the podcast description. Please subscribe wherever you listen and rate and review if that's an option. Check out the video version of the podcast on YouTube by searching No Better Time Podcast, and don't forget to subscribe there as well. And if this episode would help someone, don't forget to share it with them and let them know about the podcast.